Welcome you all to Community Covenant Church. If you are a visitor with us this morning, a special welcome to you. We're so glad you're here. In your bulletin is lots of information about what's going on in and through this church. Outside at the Welcome Center, that table right in the middle of the room, you can pick up the What's Happening page. That's got even more information about what's going on around here. There is a card in the seat back in front of you. If you're a visitor, if you want to fill that out and put it in the offering plate later on in the service, that's great. It's a way for us to get to know you a little bit and for you to get to know us a little bit because we can get you a little bit of information. That was cool. We're going to have a light show this morning. Hope you're preparing to dance. We're going to dismiss the kids at this point. So if you are up through sixth grade, if you aren't already back there, you can head on back to the classrooms for the children's programming. You need to know that this morning we're doing things a little differently. Normally, if you come to church here, we got a little welcome, we've got a bunch of singing, and then we do the sermon, and we have a little bit after that. This morning, we're flipping things around. We're going to be doing the sermon now so that we're freed up to do some more response after the sermon. Now, we are in the final Sunday of a sermon series that we've been doing where we've been looking at the Great Commandment. That commandment that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We've been paying attention to the word that repeats itself over and over again in that commandment, and that word is all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor all the time. And the first week, we looked at this idea of to be a follower of Jesus requires us to love God with all that we have and all that we are. Last week, we talked about loving God with all of our resources. We talked about tithing, about the idea of obedience and generosity. This morning, we're going to talk about how to love the Lord your God with all your time, which for some of us think, wait a second, that's more risky than loving God simply with all of our money, I mean, with all of our time. I mean, my goodness, time is tremendously valuable. And you might also be thinking, wait a second, we're going to be talking about loving God with all of our time. This is going to be one of those sermons where we're going to come up with this big, huge, long list of all these different things we have to do. And well, in all fairness, that's not the direction we're going. We're actually going to be talking about the idea of Sabbath. Because if we're going to talk about loving God with all of our time, we have to talk about Sabbath. Now, Sabbath literally means rest from work. And so how do you love God with your rest? Now, we're introduced to this idea of Sabbath at the very beginning. And when I say at the very beginning, I mean in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He worked for 6 days and then he rested. He practiced Sabbath. And this is really, really important to consider the fact that God practiced Sabbath. When you think of this wonderful, wonderful Latin phrase, and if you're following along in your bulletin, here's some fill-in-the-blank moments for you. But at the very beginning, we need to come to grips with this Latin phrase, Imago Dei. The Latin phrase is Imago Dei, which means image of God. We were created in the Imago Dei. We are created in the image of God. So that tells us that we were created at the very center of who we are. We were created to practice this rhythm of Sabbath. God practiced the rhythm of Sabbath. We are to practice the rhythm of Sabbath. We're created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. And if you actually stop and think about that for just a moment, if we choose not to practice Sabbath, we are in that moment choosing to live outside of how we were created. We were in that moment when we choose not to practice Sabbath, we are choosing to live apart from our true identity. We're created in the image of God. Now, we do not receive the instruction to Sabbath right away, but if you get to Exodus, you got it. It's in the Ten Commandments. If you're keeping track at home, it's number 4. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, here's the thing with the Ten Commandments. We have a tendency, when we look at the Ten Commandments, to think, okay, there are ones that are really, really important, and then there's some that are just suggestions. You know, hey, don't kill people, on it. Don't steal, don't, you know, cheat on your spouse. Okay, got it. But things like the Sabbath, is that really a commandment? Or is God saying, hey, if you've got the time, it's kind of a cool thing. You know, you might want to consider it if it works for you. And the thing is, I mean, we laugh at such thought, but we approach the idea of the commandment to Sabbath that way. Oh, some of those commandments, we'll do those. We do those are commanded by God. This one we go, maybe. Actually, we look at Sabbath and go, I know I was created in the image of God and God rested, but I don't know if I really want to live into this Imago Dei. I'd rather be a slave. And you might be wondering, wait, time out. Where are you getting this whole slave thing? Well, if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, this is the second time that we find the Ten Commandments. In the book of Deuteronomy, it lists the commandments, same order, but when it comes to number 4, in this idea of Sabbath, there's a couple extra things added into it. Because this is what it says. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any other animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In Deuteronomy, God says this, hey, remember when you were slaves? Remember when you were in Egypt and you had to work 7 days a week? Remember that? Remember when you couldn't have a day of rest? Remember how I rescued you from that kind of lifestyle? Remember how I delivered you from Egypt? Remember how I'm sending you to a promised land? Remember how I am providing for you the opportunity to practice Sabbath with me? Remember that I'm giving you the opportunity to live more fully into the Imago Dei. But we have this tendency to go, oh, that sounds great, God, but I am more defined by what I accomplish than by what you provide. How often is that the way we look at ourselves? Our identity is wrapped around what we think we're accomplishing rather than by what God is providing. And so instead of resting in the reality of what God is providing, we say, I'd rather be back in Egypt. So we have a choice that we make when it comes to this idea of Sabbath. Are we going to be Imago Dei or slave? And I confess that there are too many times that I choose slave. How about you? God says, I'm going to give you this wonderful gift of Sabbath. Because somehow we think this idea of obeying the commandments is somehow a consolation prize. Well, I could have this really great life, but I guess I'll follow the commandments. Well, nothing can be further from the truth. Obeying the way that God has created us to live is actually the best way to live. We talked about that last week when we were talking about tithing. When God puts together a way for us to live, it's for our benefit. The best possible version of life is found in following the way God has called us to live, and that includes this idea of Sabbath. Now, whenever we start talking about Sabbath, people go, okay, Mike, we'll give you a few moments on the Sabbath idea, but let's get down to it. How do you do it? A fine question, but a premature question. Because before you answer how to do Sabbath, we should really be giving attention to why. Why should we? We already know the whole God commanded it, and it's ultimately good for us. But how good is it? Consider this. Practicing Sabbath is physically good for you. Forget about all the spiritual stuff. It is physically good for you. Any doctor will tell you that rest is important. Did you know that you can go over a month without food? I'm not recommending it to anyone, but you can exist. You can continue to live, just living off of the stored that you got for over a month. But if you go more than 10 days without sleep, there's a good chance you die. You can go 3 times longer without food than you can without sleep. If you go to the gym, if you ever worked out, and so you grab a barbell, a dumbbell, and you're just gonna do a little bicep work, you know, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ooh, 5 was good, which means, you know, in this American way, if 5's good, 10's better, you know, boom, boom, boom. And if 10's good, 20 would be outstanding, and you're just going to keep going. What would happen if you decided, if I just kept on working that muscle nonstop without rest, I would just be the strongest person in the world? No, your body would actually begin to deteriorate because your muscle actually requires time of rest so it can build itself up again. If you just keep going, you do damage to that muscle. If you just keep going, you do damage to your life. And God has gone, no, Sabbath, rest. It's good for you. It is physically good for you to rest. It is relationally good for you to rest. I have done over the years numerous parenting seminars. One of the questions that I will frequently ask during a parenting seminar is this: how do you spell love? To which someone immediately says, L-O-V-E. Thank you, Nat King Cole. And whenever somebody says they spell love, L-O-V-E, I look at them and say, you're wrong. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. When it comes to relationship, love is spelled T-I-M-E. I've had people tell me, parents tell me over the years, oh, you know, I don't get a lot of time with my child, but we have quality time, to which I say, quantity time is quality time. Quantity time without quality time is not love. It's a harsh thing to say, but it's worth considering. One of the things that takes place traditionally during Sabbath is you clear out space to be with those that you love. You clear out time in your schedule to be with a spouse, with a child, with a neighbor, with a friend, and you just get to spend time together without some huge agenda or that thing on your to-do list getting in the way of just enjoying being present with that person. My wife and I, for our entire marriage, have had a date night. It's a rare stretch where we don't have a date night. Sometimes the date nights are actually in the evening. Other times, in other seasons of our life, it's during the day. This year, it is Fridays at lunch. I go pick up lunch. It's my day off. I go to her classroom. I bring food that's way better than what the school is providing the students. And all of her kids can look at our meal and be jealous, and I relish in that moment. And we just enjoy time together. And then as we're sitting there and the kids are doing all their stuff, and then the clock hits 12 and they disappear. Oh, it's glorious. And then it's just the two of us for a while. And we just get to do that. And I can't think of too many huge, substantial conversations we've had during our Friday lunches. It's just this wonderful moment of just being together. Sabbath is this wonderful chance to relationally reconnect, and it's true with our relationship with God, too. It's during Sabbath that we have this opportunity to just be with God. There was a reporter that was interviewing Mother Teresa years ago, and the reporter asked Mother Teresa, "When you pray, what do you say?" To which Mother Teresa responded, "I don't say anything. I just listen." To which this reporter, being really, really sharp and quick, goes, "Oh, okay. Well, what does God say?" And she said, "He doesn't say anything. He just listens." And I sat there and I heard that. I go, "I don't understand that at all, but I so want that. I want to be able to have that kind of intimacy with the Father where I can just be with him and him with me." And it's wonderful in its simplicity. Sabbath provides that space to go, "I'm just going to listen for a while. And he's sitting there listening to me." And in our silence, we communicate much. Sabbath is designed to give space for relationship, for that love spelled T-I-M-E. It's good for us. Now you might think, okay, great. Healthy relationally, healthy physically. Let's get down to how. Wait. But wait, there's more. I feel like I'm selling Ginzu knives. But wait, because there's this wonderful book called Slow Church that I was reading through recently. And in it, the author said this: Sabbath is the day in which we pause our striving and start abiding. What a wonderful phrase that is. Sabbath is the day we pause our striving and start abiding. If you think abiding, you think, "I'm simply going to be with." My favorite hymn ever written was "Abide with Me." This idea, God, just abide with me, just be with me. But on Sabbath, we have this opportunity to be with him. And you might be thinking, well, shouldn't we be doing that every day? And Brother Lawrence in his book, Practicing the Presence of God, would say, yes, this is something we do every day. We should be striving to abide in him at all times. But there's something beautiful about Sabbath where we're almost given permission to go, "I'm going to put it down. Today I'm going to stop working towards and just abide." But it's this next phrase that really, really caught my attention. Sabbath is an exercise in radical grace. In the midst of our sin and brokenness, God loves us. God looks down at us with absolute love. We set aside Sabbath to meet that gaze. I got to tell you, in all my study of Sabbath, I have never been so intrigued by a phrase than "meet that gaze." Sabbath is this wonderful time where we're given permission to become overwhelmed with the reality of his great love for us, to consider the fact that he looks down at us with love and affection, and on this day, we get the chance to meet that gaze. It's on the day of Sabbath that we are given permission to go, you know what? I remember what Paul's prayer was in Ephesians, where he says, "I pray that you would come to know the love that is wide and long and deep and high." As Paul writes in Romans, he says, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you ever stop and think about that verse for a moment, wait a second. Are you telling me that all of my sin and all of my struggle cannot separate me from his love? And you say, yes, that's true. I want to meet that gaze. To stop and think, wait a second. I think about all the things that are going wrong in our world, and our world is a mess. That God's love is not hindered or dampened by the realities of the mess of our world. We go, yeah, because nothing separates us. Oh my goodness, I want to meet that gaze. Or you think about the words that you've heard from me often. They're taken from Brennan Manning, when he says, do you believe that God loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness, that he loves you beyond fidelity and infidelity, that he loves you in the morning sun and in the evening rain, that he loves you even when your intellect denies it, your emotions refuse it, your whole being rejects it? Do you believe that the God of Jesus loves you without condition or regret, and he loves you in this moment as you are and not how you should be? And when we have the courage to accept that kind of acceptance, we lift our heads and go, I want to meet that gaze. I want to fix eyes with that kind of love, this love that loves me constantly. Sabbath is a time set aside to meet that gaze, to be overwhelmed by the love of God. I was reading something else recently by Kevin Emmett. And Kevin Emmett writes, the Sabbath therefore helps us realize we completely depend on God for all of our needs, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Why is the Sabbath so important, he writes? After all, it's a command to do nothing. It requires no activity or effort. And that may be precisely the point. This above all command encourages us to trust in God in a way that no other activity can. So much more could be accomplished by adding another day of labor. But the Sabbath requires us to trust that God will provide for all our needs and that he will continue to manage the world without our help. And he goes on to write, the Sabbath is a practical reminder that we are completely dependent upon God. The Sabbath is this wonderful opportunity that we have to stop what we're doing and look around at everything we haven't accomplished. It's a day to go for a walk, hear the birds, and think, you know what? I did nothing to contribute to that song. Look at the tree. I did nothing to contribute to the growth of that tree. Look at the sunset. It's glorious. Our pollution contributed a little bit to the beauty of the sunset, but I did nothing to help the world spin around so that I could watch a sunset or a sunrise. Look at what God has done without my help. You eat a meal on the Sabbath, and you have the opportunity to be more aware of the fact that all that I have on this table is from him. You think, I got a job, and I paid for that burrito. God provides the job. God provides the table that you sit at. All that we have is from him. And on Sabbath, we have that wonderful moment of being able to go, you know what? I'm choosing in this space to be intentional about remembering that I don't deserve any of this. It's all a gift from God. The forgiveness that I enjoy is not because of anything I have accomplished. It's all about what he has accomplished. The love that he showers upon me is not dependent upon my performance. It's based on his character. God is love, is what the book of John says. It's on Sabbath that we choose to go, ha, 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 look at all I haven't accomplished, and I am so thankful for it all. Look at all that I have. It's all from him. Sabbath gives us permission to stop the other stuff and go, God is remarkable. Now you might be thinking, okay, how? I want this. I want the opportunity to be overwhelmed by his love, to be humbled by his provision. I want to be more healthy in my relationships. I want to be more healthy physically. How? Show me how. Please, oh please, oh please. And here I pause. Because there's a tendency, I don't know what it is about Sabbath, which is this incredible gift, that causes us to become so legalistic. There's something about Sabbath that makes us go, here's how you must do it. If you don't follow all these different Sabbath rules, then you're not. It's what got the Pharisees in all kinds of trouble. They knew that Sabbath was tremendously important, and because they saw it so important, they put all these rules around it, and it got to the point where it was more work to keep the Sabbath than to not keep the Sabbath, thus defeating the purpose of Sabbath. And there's a tendency in us, when we start talking about Sabbath, that we come up with rules. For instance, what day do you practice Sabbath? You go, Sunday is the Sabbath. Great. I work on Sundays. I hope you extend me enough grace to allow me to practice Sabbath on a different day. I was talking to the worship team. I go, hey, guess what? You work on Sundays. Now, granted, this is all a gift. We all enjoy doing it. But there's a work aspect to this. I hope that we extend them the grace to practice Sabbath in maybe a different way. Don't get caught up on the days. Get caught up on the intentionality in it. If we're going to look for a wonderful example of Sabbath, I suggest we look at the 10th chapter of Luke. It's in the 10th chapter of Luke that we get the wonderful story of Mary and Martha. Interestingly enough, it's in the same chapter as the verse that surrounds the cross behind me, where we find the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But you get to the end of the 10th chapter. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, there is a temptation when you read that story to think, oh, what the Bible is saying is being tremendously active is bad, being passive is good. And that's not what it's saying at all. Because when you read the entire 10th chapter of Luke, you discover that the 10th chapter is a very active chapter. Jesus has sent out the 72 to go and do. Then you get the great commandment, which is filled with great verbs like love. That is immediately followed by the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is an action parable. You should be crossing the street to help somebody. Go and do. So that by the time you get to the very end of the chapter and you get to this Mary and Martha story, there is this temptation to go, well, Martha's active, Mary's inactive, Martha's being bad, Mary's being good, being active is bad, being passive is good. No, the entire chapter is about being active. And to conclude that Mary is being passive is to misunderstand what she's doing. Mary is being tremendously active in this moment. When it says that she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, she is taking on the posture of a disciple. What a disciple would do would literally be to sit at the feet of the rabbi. This is what a disciple would do. The rabbi would teach, the disciple would sit at his feet and listen, would learn from the words they were saying, would learn from the actions of the rabbi, how the rabbi did life, they would do life, they would just enjoy being at the foot of the rabbi. And this is what Mary is doing. She is actively being a disciple in this moment. She is sitting at the feet of the rabbi and listening to what he has to say. She's learning from what he says and by the life that he lives. And she is in awe of him, so appreciating the opportunity to simply be in the presence of the rabbi. How many of you, if you sent your son or daughter to school and they came home and you said, so what did you do at school today? And they said, oh, I just learned. How many of us go, you lazy individual. How, you just learned all day? Oh, couldn't you have accomplished something? No, you go to school to learn. That's what you're supposed to do. And this is what Mary is doing. She's doing something tremendously active. I'm sitting at the foot of Jesus, and I'm listening to his words, and I'm watching him. And I am so overwhelmed with the opportunity I have to simply be in his presence. This is Sabbath. I'm going to create space on this day to hear God's voice. I'm going to read his word. As I pray, I'm going to listen as much as I talk. I'm going to become increasingly aware of his goodness, his mercy, his grace. That's what I'm going to do today. I've had friends that when it comes to Sabbath, they light a candle as just a visual reminder, oh yeah, God is present. I've had friends that light a candle that have a thick aroma because they want to be reminded of the presence of God in the room. I've got friends when it comes to Sabbath that they refuse to set their alarm clock for the morning because they don't want the alarm clock to start their day. They just want to wake up in the grace of God and recognize that this day is a gift from Him. And I've woken up and I'm breathing again, and that's a gift from Him. I have friends that begin their Sabbath by saying, I am not going to put my feet on the floor until I have acknowledged that God is present. I've got friends who, before their feet hit the floor, will say the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm just to begin their day that way. I have friends that during Sabbath choose to be more aware of what they are eating to go, that's from God. That's from God. See, Sabbath is a day to be aware of how God is providing. And so it's a day to enjoy His provision. It's a day to enjoy the gift of family, the day to enjoy the gift of friends. It's a day to eat ice cream, because let's acknowledge that's from God. It is a day to go, wow. So when it comes to how you practice Sabbath, my encouragement would be this. Create the space to return the gaze. Create the space to acknowledge the fact that, wow, look at all the things I have not accomplished. My personal definition of Sabbath is this: loving God with all your time requires us to stop with greater intentionality. That's my personal definition of Sabbath, stopping with greater intentionality. Today I will stop the striving and choose to abide and do it intentionally. Today I'm going to eat ice cream and do it with greater intentionality. Today I'm going to walk with my spouse and be appreciative of the gift that she is with greater intentionality. For 6 days the Lord worked, and on the seventh day He rested. We were created in His image to do the same. And when we do the same, it is good. If you read the creation account, He creates, He says, it is good. He creates and He says, it is good. When He does created Sabbath, that too is good. And we will never experience the full goodness of God if we choose to ignore the gift of Sabbath. So here's what we're going to do for the rest of this morning. We're going to practice the rhythm of Sabbath a little bit. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, because what we're going to do is we're going to sing, and then we're going to stop, and there will be silence, and it'll be tremendously awkward, because studies show that, you know, we can handle silence for about 15 seconds. Well, we're going to go a full minute, maybe. It'll be overwhelming to us. But after we sang for about 6 minutes and we rest for a minute, there'll be a question on the screen that might be helpful for you to be able to stop with greater intentionality. And then we'll sing some more, and then there'll be silence. There'll be something up on the screen. It might help us to be, you know, stopping with greater intentionality. Sing a little bit more. We might do something else. But for the rest of our time together, we're going to practice the rhythm of Sabbath, because it is good. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, You are good, and Your mercy endures forever. For that, we are very, very thankful. Father, we confess that we are far more prone toward going to the old slave ways of work, and allowing our identity to be formed by what we accomplish. But You call us out of that. You call us out of that slavery into a life where we are with You, and we follow Your rhythms, and we rest. And in that rest, You meet us in special ways. So, Father, as we continue into this morning, give us the courage and the humility to acknowledge that all we have is from You and for You. Give us the courage to step into uncomfortable places, for as we rest, we become aware of things. Things that might need to change, things that maybe we have ignored. So, Father, give us the humility this morning. Give us the courage this morning to step into a Sabbath rhythm. And then as we continue on into this day and into this week and into the month ahead, Give us the courage and the humility to live with the rhythm that you created. We pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.